when you see the police. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is October the 14th. It is a Friday afternoon as I broadcast from the state of North Carolina. I hope that you all are safe and sound behind these enemy lines. Again, keeping those who are impacted by Hurricane Matthew in our thoughts, in our prayers, as we did have members of the Black Talk Radio Network family in those impacted areas. And I'm talking about hosts and listeners. So just keeping you all in mind, I hope that things are improving. Your circumstances are improving. All right. So today is pretty much an open forum, although I do have a couple of news items that I would like to share. But anybody can call in and ask me any question that they would like me to answer, and I'll do my best to answer it to the best of my abilities. And so you can get in by giving us a call on the conference line, and the studio line is open as well. And the conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032#. Just hit *6 and 1 anytime you would like to signal me, and I'll bring you on air. Again, the studio line is open. Hopefully we won't have any issues with Skype. I tested it out. It seemed to be working okay, but who knows? That number is 704-951-5030. Again, that's 704-951-5030. If you're on blacktalkradionetwork.com on the platform, our home on the web, you can also use the web-based flash phone to give us a call, and you can call in from anywhere in the world, and it won't cost you a dime, so take advantage of that. We like to hear, or would like to hear, from some of our sisters and brothers in the diaspora who are able to give us a call. So, what's up? First, let me give some network news. I got a email from a listener the other day, and I meant to bring this up on yesterday's program, and I just simply forgot. We had a guest, and the conversation was one that it seemed that people were interested in hearing and contributing to, so that's okay. But I can get to that news today. Now, I have already replied to this person. Again, this came to me via email. And if you want to contact me directly, you can email me at admin, that's A-D-M-I-N, at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Or you can go to my program page, Black Talk Radio News with Scotty Reed, on Facebook, and it has a contact form on that profile. So if you want to get directly at me, because I discovered that some people are just leaving comments on the feedback for the entire network, and they might be directing it towards me or directing it at somebody else, and I haven't been getting those emails, and I just happened to be on the platform, and I was like, let me see what's all this feedback. And this was among those. So the best way to get in touch with me is either through my profile page that is on blacktalkradionetwork.com or my profile page that's on btrcommunity.com if you're a member of BTR Community. And that's the best way to get in touch with me. So, but others might have had this same question or this answer may be for them as well. So Bruce B. wrote in, he says, Scotty, I hope things are well. On one of your shows, you talked about a piece of software that could be used to download YouTube videos that could then transfer to my hard drive. How do I find that software? Thanks for your assistance. Love, Black Talk Radio. So that's from Bruce. And as I replied to Bruce, and I'm letting you listeners know who heard that program, is that it's not a piece of software that you download. It is a website. It's a free website that you can go to. It is YouTubeNMP4.com. Let me spell that out. So you know how to spell YouTube, but N is I-N, as I'm going in on these suckers or something like that. So it's YouTubeNMP4.com. And just to give context for those people who did not hear that program, I was talking about in terms of like Tando Radio Show, they talk a lot about preparedness and the things that you, the steps that you should be taking to prepare yourself for whatever, natural disasters, man-created emergencies, what have you. They are just things that preppers should be doing. That's what prepper means, preparation. And so I was saying, while you still have access to the internet, while you still have power, some of these videos on how to do this, how to do that, and you can find just about how to do anything on YouTube. So in terms of preparation, you got a lot of prepper videos on YouTube. You also have a lot of technology videos on YouTube. So I was just suggesting to people, not only should they like download Army field manuals and survival manuals that you can find for free online and just print it out so you'll have a hard copy for your library, but also make DVDs from some of these how-to videos on YouTube, especially if it's dealing with survival tactics or how to filter water or just how to do a whole lot of different stuff. So what you do is just, again, go to YouTubeNMP4.com, and you put the URL to the YouTube video in, and then it will pull in the file, and then it'll allow you to download it to your hard drive. Once you got it on your hard drive, you can burn it to DVD. You can burn it to transfer it to a stick, a memory stick, or what have you. You got these external hard drives. So yeah, that is what I was talking about. So it's not a piece of software, but it's just a website with a free service to get those YouTube videos downloaded to your hard drive. All right, so let me see if there's any other network news that I need to get out of the way. Possibly next week, we do have a new business radio program coming on. It's going to come on Mondays at 11 a.m. Eastern time. I'm not sure if it's going to start this Monday, but if I'm able to work with the host of that program tomorrow so we can do a dry run and make sure that, you know, she is comfortable and prepared to do her first broadcast of her business program on the network, then we will launch it on Monday. So still always looking for new programming and what have you. And if you're interested in becoming a broadcaster or a radio program host on this particular station, go to blacktalkmediaproject.org. You will find the information all laid out for you there. Okay, so let me go ahead and get into some of the day's news. Before I get to the main topics that I want to talk about, just going to share a couple of other news items posted in btrcommunity.com. Again, that's btrcommunity.com, a new online black social experience. It's a social media platform created by Black Talk Media Project for our listening audience, our friends, our families. Okay, so Ross had shared this article that I thought was very, very informative. It was about cannabis, and it was about not the kind that you may get high from, or not the kind that has medicinal benefits. Again, there are many different strains of cannabis, and we're talking about industrial hemp plants, which is part of the cannabis family, which is also outlawed. They just outlawed the entire cannabis family, so I don't want to get into the background on the drug war and why they did such a ridiculous thing. But I found out something from that article. Now, we talk about on this network, and particularly Tando Radio Show, they talk about gardening. And I had seen this video about gardening in urban areas, because a lot of the urban areas have been polluted. The soil is contaminated with lead, a whole bunch of other metallic type pollutants. And this comes from years of industry just dumping tons and tons and tons of these type of pollutants into the atmosphere, and it settles down and it gets into the soil. So if you go to plant, you know, some tomatoes or some greens or anything like that in that soil, well, guess what? It's going to draw those poisons out of the soil into the plant. Now, according to this article that Ross had posted in BTR Community, is that scientists, especially in Russia, I think it was in Russia the article mentioned, but that Chernobyl nuclear meltdown, remember that whole disaster? But they have been experimenting with different plants, because there are certain plants that will pull those pollutants out. It'll purify the soil, for lack of a better word, but it'll get those contaminants out of the soil, and that's hemp. And so hemp, they say, is turning out to be the best. And it pulls all of that, all of those contaminants out of the soil. And I was like, man, this would be great for those our people living in urban areas, because I've seen people make these videos, and to get around the contaminated soil, what they'll do is like create a raised bed garden. That is where, like, you might put some tarp or something over the ground and then build a wooden like structure around it, and like a box or something, but it's pretty big. And then they go and buy soil, and they just put that soil inside that big box of which they're going to garden from or garden in. So, but still, the ground is still going to be poisoned. So I felt like, hey, this is another example of man thinking he's so smart and just, you know, engaged in all kind of things that don't promote justice, that aren't based on in science or anything like that. And so these hemp plants could be used to rejuvenate or decontaminate the soil in many of these urban areas. So we know cannabis in many of these states, most of the states, I would say, is illegal. So you may not want to try it just yet, but I thought that I would mention that, because you do have a number of states on the ballot this November. I shouldn't say on the ballot. We have a number of states with ballot initiatives that will legalize cannabis in either a medical form or recreational. So you got four different states where that will be on the ballot. And I shared that article on BTR.com. But let me go ahead and give you the information on the different states that are voting in November. Which states are voting on cannabis reform in November 2016, with the election roughly 4 weeks away, the states voting on cannabis reform are now clear. Whether states are voting on cannabis reform, medical or recreational, any success in these states would be a win for ending cannabis prohibition and the failed drug war. So what states are actually voting? And I put this information out before, and I will continue to put it out, because I'm looking at it in terms of the tools that the slave catchers and these politicians are using to create the world's largest prison slave labor force. So California is one of those states. The latest measure is Proposition 64. It is also known as the Adult Use of Cannabis Act, or the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. I don't like using the term cannabis because it has marijuana because it has racist roots. So it says that it passed the possession of 1 ounce of cannabis flower or up to 8 grams of cannabis concentrates for those 21 and older. The cultivation of up to 6 plants in addition to hemp production. So that's 6 cannabis plants to where it has the medicinal properties, but then, as I was just talking about, industrial hemp. So again, there are so many different uses of cannabis that people, all they think about it, oh, you just want to get high and all that kind of garbage. But then it says that it also be taxed and regulated system for a recreational cannabis industry. All right, Nevada is the other one. Nevada votes on recreational cannabis legalization in November. The state passed medical cannabis in 2000 for residents 21 years old and older. This particular initiative, and they don't give the name of the initiative, so y'all might want to look that up, and if you're in Nevada, but it allow possession of 1 ounce of cannabis, a tax and regulated recreational cannabis industry with tax revenue supporting K-12 education, and we have seen that those funds are being generated in the states that have legalized like they said they would. Also includes a clause that allows anyone who does not live within 25 miles of a cannabis store to grow up to 6 cannabis plants. Maine, so this is in the Northeast. The initiative in Maine aims to legalize recreational cannabis for residents 21 years and older and creates a taxed and regulated recreational cannabis industry. It legalizes the possession of up to 2.5 ounces of cannabis, the possession and cultivation and transportation of up to 6 flowering cannabis plants, 12 immature cannabis plants, and unlimited seedlings, and possession of all cannabis produced by the cannabis plants at that person's residence. So I have a question. Nobody here can answer it unless somebody's in Maine associated with this. So I'm thinking also that if you have several adults living in a household, that each adult will be able to have that many plants, whatever the limit is. So just something that popped into my mind. If you're in one of these states, a question you might want to ask. And Arizona, the legalization and regulation of Marijuana Act, I'm only calling it marijuana because that's the name of it, it's also called Proposition 205, will be on the ballot in Arizona this November. Medical cannabis is already available for almost 100,000 cardholders. However, recreational cannabis possession still faces legal charges for residents 21 years and older. The initiative legalizes the possession of up to 1 ounce of cannabis, a tax and regulated recreational cannabis industry, adults to grow up to 6 plants in an enclosed locked space within their residence, and possess the cannabis produced by those plants in the location where it was grown. A limit of the total cannabis plants grown in a single residence. So there, right there, they spell it out. It's single residence. So if you got more than one adult, no, you can't go over the limit of 12. And last but not least, wait a minute. That's more than 4. They got more than 4. They got 6 on here. Okay, so Arizona is one. Massachusetts is the other. The Question 4 initiative is to regulate and tax cannabis for recreational use for adults 21 years and up, just like alcohol, will be on the November ballot. The initiative legalizes possession up to 1 ounce, possession of up to 10 ounces of cannabis in an enclosed locked space within their residence, growing up to 6 plants in an enclosed locked space within their residence, and possesses the cannabis produced by these plants in the location where it was grown. No more than 12 total cannabis plants can be grown at a single residence. Florida. Florida will be voting on medical cannabis for the second election cycle in a row. Florida saw medical cannabis narrowly defeated by 2% in 2014. And I would imagine that the private prison, you got a lot of private prisons who are headquartered, GEO Group is headquartered there in Florida. And again, these private prisons, any of these industries that's making money off of modern day slavery and human trafficking, they don't want to see this happen. They don't. So that should tell you something right then and there. Arkansas has an interesting ballot when it comes to voting on cannabis. There are two competing proposals. The Arkansas Medical Cannabis Act is issue number 7, and the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Amendment issue 6. Issue 6 would make a repeal of the law impossible. Both issue 6 and issue 7 allow cannabis treatment for select conditions, but vary when it comes to growing at home. So y'all have to go find out the details. This comes to you from the weedblog.com. States voting on marijuana reform in November 2016. So again, you know, it's not always about whether or not somebody can get high, because again, people been using these plants for thousands of years for medicinal purposes. And I just find a lot of people to be hypocritical. They drink wine. They drink wine coolers. They drink that liquor. They using other substances. But then when it comes to cannabis, oh, they want to act like they above board and they're not using any kind of mood altering substances, which is a doggone lie. It's all about trying to control other people's free will. So anyway, moving on. Here's a couple of stories that I shared. Again, these aren't the main topics that I want to talk about, but I do want to share some brief information. There's some information coming from globalresearch.com. That's global. Let me pull up the, it's actually globalresearch.ca. And it's talking about Syria's white helmets, fiction and reality. So in 2012, you had these organizations, and among them that were created in Syria during this quote unquote civil war. One of them was the Syrian Civil Defense. It was founded by a former British intelligence officer and private security specialist, James Lee Mezier, who took part in various conflicts around the world, including Iraq, Lebanon, and Palestine. In a few years, Syrian Civil Defense turned from an NGO into a structure with its own uniforms, symbols, and even vehicles. It has 119 centers across all of Syria. In 2016, there was an attempt to even nominate them for a Nobel Peace Prize. However, only few remember that its volunteers appeared exactly in the areas captured by the opposition and refused to let the representatives of the Red Crescent and the Red Cross into those areas. So in other words, they pop up in the areas where terrorists have taken over. Okay. And they refused to let the Red Cross, the International Red Cross, and the Red Crescent, which is the Islamic version of the Red Cross. But of course, I'm sure y'all seeing this stuff on television and you're being told a bunch of lies, and they kind of help give you some information on that. Let me see. Donald Trump was in Greensboro, North Carolina today. I looked at the video. They were live streaming. I said that there's a lot of poor white trash in North Carolina. And a lot of them know that they are trash, and practicing racism makes them feel good about themselves during the commission of their racist acts. And I also find it perfectly logical that poor white trash would be attracted to rich white trash, as in Donald Trump. So there's no surprise there. I just thought it was interesting. I did not watch the whole thing, never planned on it, but I did watch a few minutes of it. During the time that I was tuned in, he was talking about how the Clintons robbed Haiti, which is the absolute truth, and talked about how the media is working with the Clintons, which is the absolute truth. I mean, we know these things from hacked emails and you know, leaks and what have you. These things are absolutely true. But guess what? Here's the problem with that truth coming from such a racist pig as Donald Trump. Ain't nobody trying to hear that from you, Donald Trump. I know all these things about Hillary Clinton, and yes, you're telling the truth. I know all these things about Bill Clinton, and many other things are true, plus more that is not being reported. But guess what? You're just as disgusting. You're just as racist. And you support the things that they claim they don't support no more, like what people call mass incarceration, which I call the increase of modern slavery. And he supports private prisons, and he's the law and order candidate and all of that. So he can say all he wants to say. He's still a racist, disgusting pig. So like I tell people, you know, when it comes to the presidential elections, oftentimes it is rigged. The process is rigged, and this process is rigged, and Donald Trump saying it's rigged. But Donald Trump is probably part of the rigging. Let's people keep forgetting him and the Clintons are good friends. He played golf with Bill Clinton. He's been to Lolita Island, or as other people call it, Pedophile Island, with Jeffrey Epstein. That's why he's being sued in civil court right now on for raping a 13-year-old repeatedly over 20 years ago. So that means that woman's probably about 33 right now. So, yeah, he's telling the truth. He's telling them that, but you know, it's what they don't know. It's what they don't know. They don't know the full context. And I'm not convinced that any of these racist suspects and confirmed racists in North Carolina care about anything that's happening in Haiti. They don't care that Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and the American Red Cross profited from the earthquake, and that very little relief actually made its way to Haiti. They actually went in and made things worse. So, but again, Donald Trump can just hang it up, man. He can just hang it up. He is not going to convince anybody to vote for him by pointing out how disgusting the Clintons are when he's just as disgusting. But, you know, we had a whole lot of poor white trash here in North Carolina turn out to his rally. But again, like I said, it is logical that poor white trash is attracted to rich white trash. The next story. Let me see. What do we got here? If you're on the West Coast, the Northwest Coast, I believe it's referred to as the Pacific Northwest, you woke up this morning, perhaps, maybe you got woke up by 100 mile an hour winds, and they're saying that those people in that area, that would be like Washington, Northern California, I guess, those states, but saying that they should brace for even stronger winds tomorrow. So I do know we have listeners who are in that particular area of the world. So just want to share this information, hoping that you're all prepared and that you will survive through this, because they're saying this is, it just popped up, a powerhouse storm. Let me just read a little bit from the Washington Post. A powerhouse storm slammed into the Pacific Northwest on Thursday night and Friday morning, uncorking wind gusts of up to 80 to 100 miles an hour and a half a foot of rain. And an even stronger storm, so it's two different storms, traced to a super typhoon in the Western Pacific Ocean is forecast to hammer the region Saturday. It says that Saturday's storm could be the strongest in a decade, according to the National Weather Service office in Seattle, which has posted high wind watches for the region. It says that winds may gust over 60 miles per hour in Seattle and even higher along the coast in both Oregon and Washington. So you can check out the rest of that article. Again, I posted it in btrcommunity.com. If you are in our listening audience and you are in the impacted area, please get prepared if you're not prepared already. Please do what you have to do to provide for the safety of your family. So let me move on. I do need to take a station identification break. I'll just share one more thing before I get to our main program notes, and then we'll take our station identification break. I posted a link to a article in Slate or on Slate.com. Slate.com is known as a progressive platform. There was an article that was posted there by a person by the name of Rebecca Onion, How the Birth of a Nation Uses Fact and Fiction. So a couple of times on the different programs on Black Talk Radio Network, we have talked about this. I also talked about an article a history professor had written about the article. They even quote her in this article. But it's not to tear down the film or sabotage the film, as some people are just getting all emotional when anybody provides any kind of critical review of it. And, you know, hell, we want people to know the difference between fact and fiction. And we know a lot of them do. That is why a lot of people get upset when we see these Hollywood films about ancient Egypt and all the people are white or European, because we know that they are black people, they are African people, but they want to show Elizabeth Taylor and black people, and what was the name of that, something about the gods or something, I can't remember that last film, and the internet, you know, started raising an alarm. Why y'all want to keep making these historically inaccurate films? Now, so a lot of people, unfortunately, they watch these type of films. I even heard Hillary Clinton on Sunday talk about the Spielberg movie Lincoln like it was totally factual and what have you. And some of these movies, if they are not documentaries, they are fiction. They are fiction based on real events. And so that gives the filmmaker, the script writer, artistic license. But a lot of people, they be taking this stuff as fact, and then you go into a conversation with somebody and you sound ignorant because you haven't actually read anything about the people you're talking about, and you just went and watched a movie and now you think you got the historical facts and what have you. Now, is there anything wrong with making a fictional movie based on real events? No, there's nothing wrong with that. We need all kind of propaganda films for various reasons. Nothing wrong with that. But don't put it out there and tell people, oh, this going to be factual. We going to base this. We going to remain loyal to the facts. Don't do that. Just say that this is a fictional movie based on real events. An artistic license has been taken. So in this particular article, How the Birth of a Nation Uses Fact and Fiction, thought it was a pretty well-written article, and it does point out what's history, what's real history, what according to records did occur, and what was, you know, where he took artistic license. I don't see that as trying to sabotage a film or any of that kind of nonsense. It's you know, sometimes I think people just hate information. They hate history. So, I can't speak for those people, but I thought it was a very well-written article, and it points out what is fact and what is represented in the movie as fact, but there was some artistic license taken with it, and it didn't exactly go down that way. So I thought that was a pretty good article, and one that's needed to inform people of historical facts, and so they have the ability to know the difference between fact and fiction when it comes to fictional movies based on real events. All right, let me go quickly through my program notes before I take this station identification break. One of the articles, I need to refresh this screen. One of the articles, I keep seeing this, and it's been building up, but I saw a whole lot of propaganda from mainstream media today talking about Russia is hacking the U.S. election, and that Russia is behind all of these leaks that we're seeing about the Clinton Foundation, the DNC, and just even President Obama and others trying to put out there as fact that the Russians are behind it. When if you read what they said, and I'm talking about the unnamed intelligence sources working at the intelligence agencies of USA Inc., they're saying, we believe. They're not saying, we know. So look up the words, the definition of the words, belief and know. See, when I know something, it's not a belief. I know something because it's based on evidence and facts. When I believe something, I don't have any concrete proof. I might have some thoughts about it. I may have some suspicions, but I don't have any concrete proof. There might be some circumstantial evidence, but again, I don't have enough proof to say for a fact that this happened or that happened or this person did this or that person did that. So again, I blame this on U.S. Public school, and not just U.S. public school, but the schooling that goes on here in the United States. Very few people pay attention to words. Very few people know the definition of words. And so they're easy to fool. They're easy to lie to. So again, I'm not buying until I see evidence that the Russians are engaged in hacking and trying to interfere with the U.S. elections on the behalf of Donald Trump. That's just garbage. That's nonsense. That's a talking point that can be traced straight to the Hillary Clinton campaign. Why would they do that? They don't have no cause to do that. But here's the thing, though. During the Democratic primaries, we saw a whole lot of reports about election shenanigans. Somebody hacked the Arizona voter database and changed people's registration from Democrat to independent, or from Republican to independent. And so the Secretary of State absolutely confirmed this happened. Where was all this outrage then? Where was all this media coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and all the rest of the alphabet boys? Where was all this concern about the election process being interfered with by outside entities, about nefarious parties and what have you? There was none. There were reports out of Chicago, New York, Arizona, California. I ain't see President Obama taking to the airwaves and giving those speeches and saying the election process in the Democratic primary is under attack and that people, parties unknown, are hijacking the elections and trying to determine or influence the outcome of the Democratic primary. We did not hear a word like that coming from them. But now all of a sudden they want to misrepresent what an unnamed intelligence officer stated, where he said he believes that Russian officials ordered these hacks. He ain't provided no proof. He can believe all he want to. And then how do we know this person even exists? Damn, I can just come on these airwaves and say, I know this government official and he told me this. And come on here and tell it to you like it's fact. And then that person, how you gonna verify that I was actually told that? man, don't be so easily fooled on this stuff. Critical thinking is a must. Asking questions is a must. Paying attention to words is a must. Reading comprehension is a must. So those are some of the stories. I want to share some stories related to that so that I can provide you with my supporting evidence that other people had gathered, that this is all nonsense. This is all nonsense. And then also a couple of other things. The first thing when I come back on from the break is, and let me go ahead and refresh my screen so it'll load up all the stories properly. But The Intercept is reporting that the FBI has, I think this study was leaked, was made public, but this study found the cause for quote-unquote homegrown terrorism is because of the United States government and its military's actions abroad. Hell, I could have told you that. It don't take no, I don't know how much money they spent on this study. I don't know how long they spent on it. It says it was conducted in 2012. I've known this. Ron Paul, a retired Republican congressional House member, ran for president a couple of times. That's all he has ever talked about in terms of foreign policy, is that these people ain't attacking us because of our freedom, like that nonsense George Bush was putting out there. How are you going to be in the land of the free and the land of the most incarcerated at the same time? That's a contradiction there. No, the reason that these people attack us is because of what we're doing in their countries, that we're arrogantly writing off as collateral damage when we kill a whole bunch of civilians. So we'll talk about that study. And I also, again, want to relate that to the study that came out from the FBI in 2006 that said that law enforcement officials here in the United States, or law enforcement agencies, that's police departments, sheriff's departments, I would presume the FBI, they just said in their report, law enforcement, and saying that white terrorists, they ain't call them terrorists, they use a word I'm trying to remove from my vocabulary, but they say white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement. That's a report that came out in 2006. But how many times, I'm gonna ask y'all, how many times have y'all, after these many shootings that occur, that get caught on film and make the nightly news or what have you, and they talking about it, how many times have you heard them bring up this report of white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement? How come nobody's talking about these white terrorists in law enforcement? Why they don't never bring that up? So those are some of the things that I want to take a look at, but by all means, nothing set in stone. The phone lines are open. Let me get those numbers out again before we go to our break. And that is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit star 6 and 1 if you would like to come in on air. The studio line is 951-5030. The area code is 704. So I'm going to take a station identification. When we come back, let's first look at this report that says, hey, they're attacking us because we're killing them or killing people in places that they may not have been born, but they look at that as their ancestral homeland, or they may have been born there and immigrated here or whatnot, and they're tired of seeing all these babies and little children and old people and others getting killed in these drone attacks, and you just chalking it up to collateral damage. So you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. I'll be back on the other side of this quick break. Mm-hmm.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent Black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public Black radio for the masses.
All right, and welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, my name is Scotty Reed. I broadcast Black Talk Radio News every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. If nothing happens, I'll broadcast it live. Please visit blacktalkradionetwork.com, where you'll find not just this program, but many other programs that are part of the Black Talk Radio Network broadcasting family. And they may not even be on this station, but are operating their own independent Black radio station. So definitely check us out at blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Sister CC. Y'all just heard on that drop right there. She hosts BIB Radio on Thursday nights. Check out their podcast as they were talking about entrepreneurialism, as they do just about every week that they are on air. So let me get to The Intercept. This piece that's on The Intercept, it was, let me see who is the, let me see, Murtaza Hussein and Cora Courier published this article on October the 11th, and that was this year, this month. A secret, see, they're always secret, just like that white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement. That was not made public. So anyway, a secret FBI study found that anger over U.S. military operations abroad was the most commonly cited motivation for individuals involved in cases of quote-unquote homegrown terrorism. The report also identified no coherent pattern to radicalization, concluding that it remained near impossible to predict future violent acts. But that won't stop people from lying to you about it. They will tell you, yes, they can. Just like Chicago Police Department, the slave catchers up there had this $1 million piece of software they were using that's supposed to predict crime, just like the precogs and Minority Report, a Hollywood movie. And it doesn't do anything of the sort. Just a waste of taxpayer money. It's just a database that they filled up with mostly Black young men and Hispanic young men and labeling them. And it's supposed to be able to predict crime, but it doesn't. So there will be people who will tell you, we absolutely can prevent terrorism. All we need is a bunch of money. And all they doing is telling you a bunch of lies. You can't predict this type of stuff. You can't predict it. Now, if we look at the reason given by, what was his name? Omar Mateen down there in Orlando. What did he say? Because y'all bombing Afghanistan. All them people that's being killed in Afghanistan. All right? That's what he cited. What's the guy in New York? I think he had his first appearance the other day. I can't recall right now, but I do remember it was similar because of what they're doing overseas. That's all they ever cite. They want these people, or they want the United States and NATO out of their country. Stop interfering in our countries and our right to self-determination. Just stop it. Stop killing all these people and chalking it up to collateral damage. I mean, how many people been killed in Iraq since the lies of the Bush administration? I've heard people cite over 1 million people have been killed and many, many more displaced. Look at Libya now. So there was a study which was reviewed by The Intercept, was conducted in 2012 by a unit in the FBI's Counterterrorism Division, and surveyed intelligence analysts and FBI special agents across the United States who were responsible for nearly 200 cases, both open and closed, involving homegrown violent extremists. The survey responses reinforced the FBI's conclusion that such individuals frequently believe the U.S. military is committing atrocities in Muslim countries, thereby justifying their violent aspirations. So, I pay attention to the CEO of USA Inc., Barack Obama, whenever he talks about the black community and the black community or whatever the uprising is that required him to comment on, and he'll I guess we could call it blacksplaining or whatnot, but I will always get or make note of, I want to use correct language, it didn't make me angry, it didn't make me upset, it didn't make me concerned or anything, because I know what it is, I know exactly what he's engaged in. But he, if y'all will recall, he always says something like the black community believes that it's being oppressed, or the black community believes that it's being targeted. He always used that word, believe. Look, we don't have to believe a damn thing when we got the facts from your own government agencies that go in and do these investigations, the FBI, the Department of Justice. And they come back and they say, absolutely, the black people are being disproportionately targeted with this, that, and the other. So it's no belief in it. There's no belief in it. It's a no. We know these things are happening. So again, I didn't mean to go off on that, but it just brought to my mind again about paying attention to people's words. So these individuals told whoever was conducting this study that the people involved in the cases that they were involved in believe the U.S. military is committing atrocities. Look, that ain't no belief. That's a doggone fact. That's a fact. We got videos of that too. That's why Chelsea Manning is in prison right now, in solitary confinement right now, because of those videos that was leaked showing them just murdering people. So it ain't no belief. Y'all call it collateral damage. Y'all come up with a name for it. So it ain't no belief. We know that, for example, in Iraq, I think it was Fallujah. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was Fallujah. It might have been another town in Iraq. And I know this is for a fact because I was in the military during the first Gulf War, and I knew that some of them guys was getting sick in artillery and in tanks, you know, the tank crews and stuff, because they were using radioactive munitions. They were using depleted uranium, which is a very hard material, very hard, harder than I guess what they have been using. So a lot of that Gulf War sickness that you hear about, vets from the Gulf War affected with, a lot of it has to do with that. Now, getting back to Iraq, they polluted many towns in Iraq with this depleted uranium to where people, for whatever reasons, not able to leave those bombed out areas or what have you, their children are being born with birth defects. So whether we're talking about what they call collateral damage, what we're talking about, and again, I can't reveal too much because it still may be classified, but since I'm not going to share any details, when I was over there during the Gulf War, I got access to reports every night called bomb data assessment reports. And it estimated how many casualties were a result of the bombing campaign. I can't tell you exact numbers, but we're talking about thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not more people. There were people that they were killing that was trying to give up. I'm talking about Iraqi soldiers that was trying to give up. They were killing them. So it ain't no "we believe." That's something y'all need to pay attention to. Of this condescending language that people use to act like you crazy or something, like these things aren't happening and there's no proof that these things are happening. No, Mr. CEO of USA Inc., Barack Obama, the black community does not believe that it's under attack by slave catchers. We don't believe these things. We know these things, and you know it too. If you took time out to read the Baltimore report, the Ferguson report, the Los Angeles report. I mean, some of these reports have been out before Barack Obama became CEO of USA Inc. So, you know, that just really is a pet peeve of mine that I pay attention when somebody say, well, they believe this is happening. Hey, either it's happening or it's not. And for people to try to act like these things are not when there is plenty of evidence, then that just tells me that you're a liar. You're just a liar. The truth is not in you. It says that online relationships, exposures to English language, militant propaganda, and ideologies like Anwar al-Awlaki are also cited as key factors driving extremism. But grievances over U.S. military action rank far above any other factor, turning up in 18% of all cases, with additional cases citing a perceived war against Islam or perceived discrimination or more. But again, these things aren't perceived. These are things that we know is going on. They don't have to call it a war against Islam. And it may not specifically be a war against Islam, but a war against Islamic countries to get at their resources or make them do what you want them to do in terms of foreign policy. But again, it ain't that we perceive these things. These are real things that are happening. And then Anwar al-Awlaki was a U.S. citizen. And see, they want to say, again, these are these people talking, that propagandists like him are key factors driving extremism. How is it extreme to get on these airwaves and tell the truth? So that's what they're saying to me, is that truth tellers are engaging in extremism. Now, I did not tune in to his broadcast or anything like that, and I only seen a few videos. The videos I did see, he was doing what? Complaining about all the killing that's going on in Muslim countries. This is a U.S. citizen. A U.S. citizen. So they targeted him, harassing him while he was here. So he moved to Yemen. He went to Yemen. They sent a drone and killed him and many other people that was riding in the car or was in that convoy. This is a U.S. citizen who was on the CEO's kill list. No trial. No evidence presented against him. He wasn't convicted of anything. And yet you just murder this man. And then not only do you murder this man, the very next week you come back and murder his 16-year-old son with another drone attack. And he was also a U.S. citizen. That's the Obama administration. But let's not make any mistakes. Ain't no difference between Republicans and Democrats. You got your neoliberals, you got your neoconservatives. The only difference between them is their views on homosexuality. That's the only difference. Only concrete policy difference that I can see. Now, they can say one thing, but it's about what you do. Bill Clinton said a whole lot of good stuff about feeling people's pain and all this and that, and he went on to inflict much more pain. So that's an article that caught my eye. And so when I read this article, I was like, this is no different this FBI report. Well, where's the FBI report? Why isn't anybody talking about the terrorists who have infiltrated U.S. law enforcement? Oh, because they're not Muslim. They're Christians. And they're white. So I went and pulled up this article, OregonLive.com. Shootings bring into spotlight 2006 FBI report about white supremacists and law enforcement. Now, I made a couple of videos pointing this out, and they got circulated. I'm not sure if I wrote about it, but I knew I talked about it. And this I would not consider corporate media. This isn't CNN. This isn't MSNBC's website or anything like that. But then I started seeing alternative media bring it up. So this is what it says. Philando Castile was shot to death by a St. Anthony, Minnesota policeman on Wednesday, reportedly during a routine traffic stop for a busted taillight. Castile, a 32-year-old school worker, cafeteria worker, who apparently had informed the officer he had a legal permit to carry a firearm, was in the car with his girlfriend and young daughter. Castile's girlfriend live streamed the aftermath of the shooting. So let me just skip ahead. We know that story. Let me get to the pertinent information, because I'm seeing a whole lot of talk and not so much about this. Let me see. It talks about D.L. Hughley fears he knows the answer to why this is happening. Okay, go ahead, D.L. He shared some propaganda we've put out there before. Our children and parents and friends are brutalized and nobody says anything, he said on CNN Thursday, his eyes welling with tears. It's too much. It's too much. Now, he didn't say this on CNN, and he should have said it on CNN, but maybe he wasn't aware of it at the time. But he later posted to Facebook an article published last year by law professor and former military police captain Samuel V. Jones. The article refers to a 2006 FBI report that warns of a concerted, decades-long attempt by white supremacists to infiltrate law enforcement. This is from the report, and I've shared the report. All you got to do is Google it. It's in PDF form and download it. The term ghost skins has gained currency among white supremacists to describe those who avoid overt displays of their beliefs to blend into society and covertly advance white supremacist causes, the FBI report states. So, I'm going to leave it there. Whenever we're talking about terrorism, the mainstream, the powers that be, want you to focus on individual acts. They want you to focus on Muslims and other people. But they never want to focus on themselves. Because I call regime change terrorism. That's terrorism. That's what it is. And they often use terrorists like they did in Libya to overthrow a country that does not want to do what they want them to do. Or like Gaddafi wants to create an African currency for the continent backed by gold, which would put them on top of the financial food chain. So they had to take them out. So whenever I hear people talk about terrorism, if they ain't talking about the original terrorists, whether we're talking about white terrorists, whether they be poor white trash or rich white trash, it don't matter. Or whether we're talking about the policies of the U.S. government. That's what I'm talking about in terms of terrorism. And then they killing U.S. citizens for expressing their First Amendment speech rights. If he had committed a crime, why didn't y'all arrest him? Why are you going to wait till he leave and then send a drone to kill him? That's the country we live in, not the one that they try to tell you we live in, that's full of so much freedom and full of so much opportunity and so much liberty and justice for all. That's not happening. It's not happening. We have one of the most terroristic governments on the face of the planet, and that's the truth. So let me go ahead and take another station identification break. Then I want to jump into Without Any Proof. The U.S. corporate media is reporting Russia is hacking political entities as a matter of fact. And this is not a matter of fact. Again, when you believe something, I'm not supposed to take that as fact, but that's how they're trying to present it. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines. We'll be back on the other side. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, the phone number to get in with your comments or questions is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound, and it's *6 and 1 to comment. The studio line is 704-951-5030. So, like I mentioned, before I move to this article about them lying to the public about Russia trying to get involved in the already rigged election, and I'm talking about the presidential election, it's already rigged. And but again, people are just so gullible, and I'm like, no man, are they taking it back to the 1950s and Joe McCarthy and all this red baiting? But also, it also has to do with them being opposed by Russia and their terroristic activities in Syria. But before we get into that, we do have a call. Area code 910. Thank you for calling in to the program. Go ahead with your question or comment.
What's going on, Brother Reed? This is Brother Zion from Fayetteville. How you doing?
I'm doing the best I can, sir.
Don't I know it? I just had a couple comments I'd like to add my 2 cents, I guess, because, you know, I've always thought that the American people who listen to the mainstream media are so gullible that they believe all the stories that the mainstream press put out about this crooked, terroristic government that we live in. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't want to live nowhere else, but this place is a mess, man. We do so much deplorable things to people. And like you said, you know, how they going to sit up there and say they hate us for our freedom? No, they don't hate us for our freedom. They hate us for all the killing and stealing we're doing and destabilizing of all the regions. And you know, and everything has this agenda, you know, and it's just so horrible, you know. And people need to just wake up and stop believing everything that they tell you, you know, because they spoon feeding you lies little by little bit. And they say, well, if it's on the news, it must be true. And those people, you know, I work with a ton of those people, and they feel like if it ain't on CNN or if it ain't on, you know, NBC, then it ain't the truth. And oh, it must be the truth because I saw it on Facebook. I saw it on this and that. And I was just like, you know, you're being spoon-fed poison every day, and you don't realize it's poison. Like Brother Dave said, poison is so delicious. It's sweet. It's sweet to you. You want to believe that these guys are terrorists. You want to believe they coming over to this country flying airplanes into buildings and whatever. You know, if you want to believe what you want to believe, that's your story. You know, that's on you. But yeah, this I just want to agree with you and say this is one of the most crooked places on this globe. and to the things that we do to people. It's just amazing, man. It's horrible.
I'm in full agreement. I mean, the evidence would suggest that. It's not that you believe these things are true. That's what the evidence says.
Yeah, you know, I like you said, I don't believe that they are crooked. The evidence shows that they are deplorable. That, you know, you got police in local levels killing people. You have government on global levels killing people, and then they say, "Oh, we're over there just to, we're not going to let them kill their own people, so we're going to go over there and kill them." And it just don't make sense. And the people, you know, they just, I don't know, they just believe anything, man.
Right. All right. Well, thank you for your call. Did you have anything else to add?
Nah. I'll just stay in the queue and you know.
Okay.
And keep listening, brother.
All right. All right.
Q&A queue is cleared.
Let me clear the queue. Anytime you want to chime back in, just hit *6 and 1. I have to do that to keep myself organized, keep the board organized. So, I mean, I have nothing to add to that. It's what the evidence says. It's not what we say. It's not what he says or she says. It's what the evidence says. And the evidence says, or the evidence supports everything he just said. It supports that. And these politicians, the problems that he mentioned about people believing any and everything just because it came over a particular news channel, because you'll have some people that'll say, well, you know, Fox News is just is false news, it's fake and what have you. I watch CNN. Well, damn, CNN is just as fake. It's just as fake, and they have an agenda just like Fox has an agenda. And so, you know, they know this. I'm talking about the powers that be. They know this. In my studies over the years of propaganda, you've had American media executives who say it is their patriotic duty to lie to the American people. I'm paraphrasing what they said. But, like, let me put it in the context that I read it in. Like, for example, if there is, let's say, Vietnam. The United States want to attack Vietnam. So they stage this attack on a U.S. ship so that they can then blame somebody else for it, and that be justification. So CBS, ABC, NBC, whatever was around at the time, they didn't do any investigative journalism. They didn't send any reporters to investigate nothing to see who blew up this or if there was any truth to what the U.S. quote-unquote intelligence agencies were saying or what the administration was saying. No, they just ran with it. They just ran with whatever press release or press report or talking points that was sent out from the White House. So, I mean, no independent journalists, and they know this. And so that guy, that executive, I can't remember his name. It was like years ago. I'm going to have to dig that up. And I forget which corporation he was tied to. I think it was CBS. But he said it is their patriotic duty not to question and to just put this stuff out. Now, we like to think that things have changed, but we just saw that same thing most recently with Libya. Oh, Gaddafi's about to kill his own people and blah, 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 blah. Oh, he's hiring African mercenaries and giving them Viagra and ordering them to go rape all the women in the... This was coming from Susan Rice at the UN, Samantha Powers at the UN. This was coming from the Obama administration. This was coming from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And it was all lies, nothing but lies. Nothing but lies. Because they were about to do a regime change so that they could take the Libyan stockpile of weapons and transfer it to those Syrian terrorists that's trying to overthrow the Syrian government. Did you see anybody back then question the reports about, other than Russia Today maybe, but other than Russia Today, other than possibly independent outlets coming out of Africa, did you hear any of these alphabet boys called American news media do any kind of investigating reports on that? No, you did not. It was no different than what happened with the lies the New York Times published to get us into Iraq. No different than the mainstream media telling lies to get us into Vietnam. They keep doing the same thing over and over, and the American public keep falling for it. Not all of us, but far too many of us. And I mean, sometimes I think they don't even care whether we know the truth or not. They're going to do what they're going to do, and they're daring us to stop them. That's the way I see it. So I try not to be too hard on people, and that's all they're getting their information from is CNN or MSNBC, and all they watch is corporate media. I try not to be hard on them, too hard on them, because at one time that was me. That was me. Especially before the internet. That was me. All I was believing these people. Everything they came over the TV, if it was on 60 Minutes, it had to be true. And now I know it was a lie. Many of these things were lies. So I don't try to be too hard on them. But I had an excuse prior to the internet. We didn't have the internet. That's all we had was those news stations. That's all. But today, with the internet and independent networks out there that you can access from all over the planet, alternative news media, there's no reason for people to remain ignorant about these things. They should always be looking for a second or third source. So I don't call them, in the caller, he did not, you know, engage in any name calling, but I'm just thinking about other people out there where we call these people stupid. I've done it before. You so dumb, you so stupid. Oh, you know, why do you trust these white lies and that kind of stuff? Because, you know, I was there at one time myself, and they've just yet to have their eyes open. And so we want to open their eyes, and we just want to tell them about these other outlets where they can get some alternative information to take into consideration. All right. So the United States government, without any proof whatsoever, this is coming to you from ibtimes.co.uk. U.S. formally accuses Russia of cyber attacks to interfere with election. So they got this video of Hillary Clinton is probably about to start up, and she may be talking about this. So I'm trying to let this page.
Cyber security.
Okay, here we go.
Cyber warfare will be one of the biggest challenges facing the next president, because clearly we're facing at this point two different kinds of adversaries. There are the independent hacking groups that do it mostly for commercial reasons, to try to steal information that they then can use to make money. But increasingly, we are seeing cyber attacks coming from states, organs of states. The most recent and troubling of these has been Russia. There's no doubt now that Russia has used cyber attacks against all kinds of organizations in our country, and I am deeply concerned about this. I know Donald's very praiseworthy of Vladimir Putin, but Putin is playing a really tough, long game here. And one of the things he's done is to let loose cyber attackers to hack into government files, to hack into personal files, hack into the Democratic National Committee. And we've recently have learned that, you know, that this is one of their preferred methods of trying to wreak havoc and collect information. We need to make it very clear, whether it's Russia, China, Iran, or anybody else, the United States has much greater capacity. And we are not going to sit idly by and permit state actors to go after our information, our private sector information or our public sector information. And we're going to have to make it clear that we don't want to use the kinds of tools that we have. We don't want to engage in a different kind of warfare. But we will defend the citizens of this country.
All right, I'm going to stop it there. I mean, that's the last person that should be talking about cybersecurity. Again, this is the woman who set up a private server to escape the Federal Records Act. I don't care what people say. You don't work in government 30 plus years and not know the laws. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. She's just above the law because she white. All right, she above the law because she a racist. So they not trying to hold her accountable to the same standards that they hold other people. So, I mean, I just thought it was crazy for this woman, after we got detailed reports about her unsecured server, server set up by third parties, third party companies that did not have security clearances. Okay. Did not have the proper technology to secure it. Then she was going to China, went to China, and using an unsecured BlackBerry when she was told, no, you can't use your own BlackBerry. You have to use a department issue BlackBerry that has all the security software. That ain't what she did. She did whatever she wanted to do. So she I can't speculate on her motivations, but I know one thing. It ain't cause she was ignorant. It ain't cause she's stupid. Now, whether or not she was leaving those channels open on purpose, I cannot say. But she the last person to be talking about some cybersecurity. Now, she makes a statement, a lie, and saying, we know that Russia is doing this, that, and other. Well, name some of those organizations. She said political organizations. Then she mentioned the DNC. And look, the guy who hacked the DNC is in a Virginia jail right now. And he was not working for Russia. He was a hacker. Some of these hackers have egos. And they hack stuff just so that they can have this reputation in the hacker community. Oh, he pulled it off. He was able to hack through all of this security. Well, again, if he was trying to get it Hillary Clinton, he didn't have much to get through. So that guy Guccifer has already been arrested. He's already been charged. He's already been convicted. And at no time has he said, and there has been nobody even alleging that he was working for the Russians. I forget the guy's real name. But he's here in the United States in prison for hacking. And he wasn't hacking for nobody but himself for bragging rights. So now you got a guy out there, or a girl, I don't know, calling themselves Guccifer II, who has hacked the DNC as well and the Clinton Foundation. And now we got all these documents coming out showing more dirt on the Clinton political machine. And I don't want to get all off into that. But again, this is how so many people get the wool pulled over their eyes. Is that these people in power are liars, man. And so people aren't even asking for any proof. Let me read some of this article. U.S. officials have formally accused Russia of cyber attacks against political parties aimed at interfering with the upcoming presidential elections. Washington officials have said that they believe, again, the key word here is believe, these attacks were orchestrated by hackers backed by the Russian government. The Department of Homeland Security has said recent hack emails are consistent with the methods and motivation of Russia directed efforts. Now, what the hell is that supposed to mean? What is that to mean? Hacking is hacking. These motivations are perceived, again, they don't know, they perceive them as disrupting Democratic Party candidate Hillary Clinton's bid for the White House. So I'm not even going to read anymore. Let me go down. A joint statement that was released on Friday from the Department of Homeland Security and Director of National Intelligence on Election Security said that high-ranking Kremlin officials, quote-unquote, authorized the actions. Again, this is a quote. We believe, based on the scope and sensitivity of these efforts, that only Russia's senior most officials could have authorized these activities. Again, this is ridiculous. No proof whatsoever. Didn't name any names. Just talking about, based on who they targeted, we believe, in the sensitive areas that they targeted, we believe. That you can believe all day long, but that is not proof. And they provided no proof, as if these hackers don't hack just for the sake of hacking. So they've offered no proof of any payments to any hacker or anything. No, they just want you to believe this garbage to sidetrack you or distract you from what's in the emails that have been hacked and released by WikiLeaks, which shows, some of them show racism in the Democratic Party. It shows criminal actions by members of her staff, the Clinton Foundation, showing that Bill Clinton got a $1 million birthday check from Dubai. Why did they give him $1 million? I mean, do they give every president $1 million as a birthday present? Of course they don't. So what did that $1 million buy while Hillary Clinton was still at the State Department? So there is no proof whatsoever. When I first saw the report from ABC News with David Weir, I think is his name, or David Meir, he just simply, it took less than 30 seconds. Intelligence officials believe the Russians are hacking the U.S. election, something to that effect. Skin, key word is believe. Where is the damn proof, Mr. Meir? I'm waiting for the proof. Oh, you over already 30 seconds? That's all we're going to get? Is you just repeating what U.S. intelligence officials said? What kind of journalism is that? So don't believe that garbage. All they trying to do is distract you from the real garbage. And that is their actions and their activities. But I ask you, where was all of this concern when, during the Democratic primaries, the voter databases were getting hacked? I didn't see y'all blaming that on Russia. Matter of fact, I didn't see CNN or anybody else talking about it. Doesn't mean they didn't, because I don't watch it 24/7. So if they did, I must have missed it. Or I must have missed it on the internet, because I'm sure people would have, shared the clips and stuff. Well, I'm subscribed to CNN's YouTube channel. I would have saw something. Believe me, don't much get past me. Things do get past me, but not much. So I didn't hear any of this concern. I didn't hear the CEO of USA Inc. saying that somebody's hacking the voter databases of Arizona or California or New York or Chicago, or these voting shenanigans that's going on. I didn't hear any of that concern being raised, except for people that was voting for Bernie Sanders. And I don't even recall him even bringing it up. So when I come back on the other side of this last break, I want to go over some of what was published about election fraud happening during the Democratic primaries. And we didn't get any of these reports about the Republican primaries, only in the Democratic primaries. And there was no concern from any officials connected to the Democratic Party about all this hacking. I didn't even hear Bernie Sanders. I didn't even hear him bring it up. All right, so take this last break. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines. Be back on the other side.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Give up on my way.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. So let me go to this article by U.S. Uncut. And it's not first time I saw it. I remember they were one of the few outlets that actually published anything. And this is what happened in Arizona, because what happened in Arizona was particularly egregious. But again, I didn't hear Hillary Clinton or Debbie Wasserman Schultz or Donna Brazile or Barack Obama, none of them expressing any concern over the integrity of the Democratic primary process. I just didn't see it. Arizona's Secretary of State has confirmed that election fraud took place in the Arizona primary on March 22nd. During yesterday's testimony at the Arizona State Capitol in Phoenix, Secretary of State Michelle Reagan was asked what her office was doing to investigate the claims that registration for thousands of voters had been changed from Democrat or Republican to independent. As U.S. Uncut previously reported, thousands of voters were given provisional ballots which aren't actually counted due to their party registration mysteriously showing up in the system as independent or no party declared. Reagan answered yes when asked if she knew for certain voter registration had been changed prior to the primary election, then followed up by saying, "This was something that I know happens, and I know it happened to people in this room. It's not hearsay. It happened to someone in my own office. One of my employees was registered as a particular party, went to go vote, and I don't want to divulge his personal details, but it happened to him too." Let's go ahead and listen to this news report out of the local area in New. Again, it may get reported on local affiliates, but if it does it make the national news? No, it usually doesn't. So let's listen to the Arizona Secretary of State talk about what only could have been a hack of the Arizona voter database that nobody was really concerned about, except for those that were impacted by it.
We have to get to the bottom of, is there a breakdown in that communication? Are people being disenfranchised because their registration status was changed? I've heard anecdotal evidence from both parties, and so we just have to get absolute clarity on that and what we have to do proactively going forward to make sure that never happens again. And I know you guys have been working hard on this too.
Madam Secretary.
Madam Chair, Representative Wenninger. Yes, we have been working on that extensively. In fact, this was something that I know happens, and I know it happened to people in this room. It's not hearsay. It happened to someone in my own office. One of my employees was registered as a particular party, Democrat. Went to go vote. I don't want to divulge his personal details, but and it happened to him. So we know it happened. And
stop.
We'll get to that in a second. We worked with ADOT, MVD, all day Friday and with the counties. This entire weekend, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, our elections team was doing cross-checking of paper voter registration forms to see and try to pinpoint exactly which are the files that we believe were possibly affected. We do not have, obviously, a complete report or anywhere near a complete report on that. But what's most important right now to our office and to the county recorders is making sure that the people that cast provisional ballots or had to cast provisional ballots, that those are among the first ones that are being cross-checked. Because if those were votes that should count, they need to be counted. So that is our priority right now.
Thank you.
Representative Wenninger. Okay. Madam Secretary,
this is kind of new information for me. Do we know, did this has this happened in previous elections, or is this a new occurrence? Maybe if you wanted to speak to that. Because this particular issue, this is kind of like the first I've heard of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, we've heard this. It appears that we've heard complaints of this before, but never to the level that we've heard it to this election. So we are going to be going back and investigating. Is this a new phenomenon? Was this something? Was a process changed recently that wasn't from before? Or was it, you know, what exactly? Is it something that has been changed? Was it a process that was changed? Was it a system that was changed? Or was it just because there was more people that were switching and more interest in this presidential preference election? Those are questions that we cannot answer right now because our priority is making sure that we're concentrating and cross-checking on people's provisional ballots and those that cast provisionals first.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Was it Representative Clark?
Thank you, Madam Secretary, Madam Chair, for coming down here to speak to us. I'm happy to see you at the Elections Committee. I've not seen you at the Elections Committee yet. So it's good to have you here. I have questions for you about...
Okay, the video's going to stop there, but again, this is, I submit to you, evidence that the United States government is not so concerned as they will have you to believe about the United States election process being influenced by anybody on the outside or by Russia or anybody else. They not concerned because you know why? They probably behind it themselves. You know, the Democrat, the Bush, we all know about the electronic voting fraud that went on there. Check out blackboxvoting.org. It's a website I became aware of in 2007. And no, actually earlier than that, I had to go back to 2000 because of the electronic vote flipping that was going on. And it actually happened to me. And here in North Carolina during that election, I actually was trying to cast a ballot for Ralph Nader, and I saw it flip to George Bush, and then it was done. So that did happen. And they've known that these things have happened. Now in North Carolina, we don't use those anymore. We have paper ballots that are then read electronically, but at least you got a paper trail of how you really voted. You have a piece of paper. Okay? You can even take a photograph of your ballot. So, they are not that concerned. They've been hacking these elections for I don't know how long. And then, some of these systems are easy to hack. Like in Arizona, they use SQL. SQL is a database that websites use to arrange information. It lays out tables and stuff and what information goes where. And just about every website, if it's put together properly, if it's not just, if it's a content management system, let me put it that way. If it's a content management system, it's using SQL. Now, some people say it's very easy to hack that. Yeah, it depends on your skill level, but there are security measures that you can take. But there are more stronger software you could use that isn't as weak as SQL. But that appears to be what Arizona it has been using. So anyway, going back to the Bushes, though, when I found that the Bush family was more than likely going to back Hillary Clinton, which they've done publicly now, but I've heard about that for a while. I was like, yeah, just watch for another 2000 repeat. Watch votes on these electronic machines get flipped. But I didn't have to wait till November because it happened during the primary election. Now, that's not what happened in Arizona, but there were reports coming out of Chicago. I believe that was Chicago, or it might have been the Bronx, New York, where I read that report of electronic vote flipping. Now, this is stuff we have proof of. There you got a state official saying that their database was hacked and people's registration changed to interfere with them voting in the primary. I didn't hear Homeland Security getting involved or issuing any kind of statements and saying we believe this or we know that. We didn't see that. Now, it was another article pertaining to this that was published by counterpunch.org. And it says the title of this article, which came out in May, Clinton Does Best Where Voting Machines Flunk Hacking Tests. Hillary Clinton versus Bernie Sanders election fraud allegations. At the end of the climactic scene, 8 minutes into HBO's Emmy-nominated Hacking Democracy from 2006 in Leon County, Florida, election official breaks down in tears. There are people who are giving their lives just to make our elections secure. And these vendors are lying and saying everything is all right. Hundreds of jurisdictions throughout the United States. Let me close this ad. Hundreds of jurisdictions throughout the United States are using voting machines or vote tabulators that have flunked security tests. So I'm saying, how can you be sure about any election in this country? You can't be. You can't be. Only thing that you can, only places you can, well, nothing's for sure. So let me just back up. Those jurisdictions, by and large, are where former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is substantially outperforming the first full wave of exit polling in her contest against Senator Bernie Sanders. See, that was something that reminded me of 2000 election. And I think even 2004, where Bush got his second term. But the exit polling was not matching the results that they said. And that's very odd. So Counterpunch interviewed hackers, academics, exit pollsters, and election officials, and workers in multiple states for this series, taking election fraud allegations seriously. The tearful breakdown in Hacking Democracy is not surprising. There is a well beyond remarkable gap between what security experts and academics say about the vulnerability of voting machines and the confidence election experts and academics, media outlets, and election officials place in those same machines. It does mention the Bev Harris of Black Box Voting. What they would do is get those same type of voting machines that were being used and then show you how easy it was to hack them. So, again, how come we didn't see this level of concern from the Obama administration or anybody associated with the Democrats during the Democratic primaries? So, why are they talking about this with Donald Trump now? Again, Donald Trump's a disgusting individual who is doing his best to lose. All right. He's just part of the fraud that's going on. So, but he's just playing the control opposition. And he is putting out correct information and things. But, you know, he's still a pig. He's still a pig. But anyway, I'm just saying, you can't believe nothing these people tell you, because they are so concerned all of a sudden about Russia hacking the elections, but they weren't concerned about all this hacking that was going on this year during the primaries. So there's a lot more that I could share on this, but I'm not. I think I've made my point clear. All right, so coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time here in just about 17 minutes, we do have Tando Radio Show coming on air. That'll be the last of tonight's live streaming on the network. So make sure you check out Tando Radio Show from 6 to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. I, myself, will be back on air with another broadcast of Black Talk Radio News. This Monday, nothing happens. At 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Now, as I close it up, All I'm asking people to do is critically think about stuff. We know these people are liars. We don't believe they're liars. We know they're liars. We know we can't trust mainstream media. I don't care if it's so-called liberal or conservative. You can't trust them people. So it behooves you, so that you have correct information, that you do your own research. Do your own, anything that I talk about, do your own research. Just don't take it as, well, I trust Scotty and I don't think Scotty will lie to me, so I'm just going to take him at his word. No, don't take me at my word. Do your own independent study about what I'm talking about and come to your own conclusion. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm going to do my own research before I come on these airwaves running my mouth. But it still behooves you to get into the practice, and especially teaching your children to get into the practice of double checking everything. So when that teacher in elementary school tell your child how honest Abraham Lincoln was and how he quote unquote freed the slaves, your children won't just simply believe that to be true, and then you sit down with your child and you do the research and you pull up the 13th Amendment and ask your child, can you abolish something while also making an exception for it? Is that logical? Can you do that? Does that make any sense to you? All right. We cannot remain comfortable in our ignorance. I hope I'm making you very uncomfortable right now, but it's not because I'm trying to shame anyone or talk bad about anyone. It's just, I know that the more people have the correct information, the more people will be making better decisions out there. In terms of this election, I'm just talking about the presidential election. I'm like H-Rap Brown, Jamil Alameen. Don't matter who get elected president, black folks still gonna have to fight that person because they represent the state. Okay? So it's not that I'm on here trying to score points for Donald Trump or score points for Hillary Clinton. I'm on here to provide you with evidence of what I know to be true. And that is, both of these people are disgusting. They're both racist. And neither one of them deserves your vote. But, you know, it seems like the fix is in. Evidence would say the fix is in. And I predicted weeks or so ago that Hillary Clinton is going to be the next CEO of USA Inc. Regardless of the turnout, regardless of the actual votes cast, the establishment, the racist system, the people with the most power on this planet have already determined that that's who they want to be the next CEO, and that's who it's going to be. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, recognize the fact that you do live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., where slavery is still legal and it's bigger and badder than it has ever been in the past, and that you have to be careful out there and keep your head on a swivel, be aware of your surroundings, and don't do things that's going to make a slave catcher's job that much easier. We want to stay out of slavery, so we can't have everybody enslaved, and who's going to free those who are enslaved? So just be careful. Just be careful out there. Question everything and question everyone. Peace and blessings to all.
watching us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you remember I said, with the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek and they met it with a bat. Fuck them protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride what I got up. And that was blood in your garden. Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue. One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. For those of you who don't know the pain, the government was slinging out them old cane. And bullets of propaganda was no cocaine. So on the same day that Hope came, Jay Eckie and his Minuteman raided. Will O'Neal waited. Said it in Van Chemin's drink, so when the house was eventually taken, shots went off, he was never even waking. 21 years old, saw his final destination. Said neutralize the threat, also called assassination. Chicago police acquitted on accusations that their soldiers he was born to never make it. Are you willing to die for your cause? Even if it's two in the head and dying in the hall. They say united we stand, divided we fall. Divided we fall. One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Where did our rebels go? I said, where did our rebels go? Malcolm, Huey, Fred. They ended up dead. Where did our rebels go? I said, where did our rebels go? Malcolm, Huey, Fred. So tell me who's mad.